Hello, everyone. Hi, guys. Welcome to today's live stream. Thank you all for coming here today. So while you guys are filtering in, as always, please make sure to let me know that you're there. Just type hello or a question or where you're from in the comments section. And then we'll start our lesson. So for today's live stream, we are doing it a little earlier. So sorry, guys, if you were expecting it to be a little later. Just had a little something come up. So here we are a little earlier. So again, please make sure to say hello in those comments. Oh, we have a few coming in. Oh, hello. Hi. Thank you so much for coming today. I see some more. Yes. Thanks, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello. Hello again. Yes. Yeah, so happy to see you. Sana. Hi. Thank you so much. Oh, wonderful. I see so many comments coming in. Hi. Hello from Russia. Yes. So nice to see you here today. Hello, Veronica, one of our regular viewers. Hi, Veronica. Hi, Fawad. Nice to see you. Thank you. Hello, Chris. See you again. Nice to see you. Yes, I hope we will have a nice time today. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. I see Justina in the comments. Hello, Justina. Yes, shout out. Hello. Welcome to our live stream today. Hello. I see so many coming in. Raul from Mexico. I see Abdullah just came in from Saeed. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. Hello, Raul. Hi, everyone. Okay. I'm so happy to see you all here today. How are you? I'm great today. Hello from Pakistan. Oh my gosh, so many comments. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for saying hello. I am always so happy to see you guys and see your comments coming in the comment section. So let's begin. Today, we are going to be learning about a useful speaking skill. So I'm going to share my screen with you. Please wait a moment. Okay, okay. All right, so you guys should be able to see my screen now. So let's start with today's lesson. So as I said before, everyone, welcome to today's live stream. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming early. I appreciate you all being here today. So as always, I am going to go through today's lesson. While I am speaking, you can type any questions you have about the lesson or any confusing things you want to ask me about. And then at the end of the lesson, we'll go through and look at your comments and questions. So let's begin. So today's speaking skill, which I hope will be interesting to you, is how to have better and more interesting English conversations. So let's go ahead and talk about what that means and how we can do this. How can we have better, more interesting, and more fun English conversations? So what will we do today? Well, I'd like to begin with a question. Have you ever tried to speak to someone in English, but you couldn't keep the conversation going? Maybe you felt very nervous, for example, because you feel some shyness or discomfort when you're speaking English with someone you don't know well. Maybe you didn't know what to say, or you just got that feeling that, okay, this conversation is over. And maybe you didn't want it to be. So has that ever happened to you? Or have you ever felt maybe that you have lower confidence with keeping English conversations going? Today, we're going to talk about three strategies to keep the conversation interesting. So we're going to talk about using better adjectives, a speaking strategy called QARF, and a tip about engaging the listener. So we're going to look in detail at these three conversation strategies that will help you have better, more interesting English conversations. So let's begin with using better adjectives. First, let's take a look at this word, adjective. So can you guys think of any adjectives? Maybe think to yourself, what are some adjectives? Maybe words like good, fun, exciting, nice, hot, cold, right? All of these are adjectives. Adjectives are words we use to describe things, right? So let's take a look at an example conversation and see what kind of adjectives we use here. So let's say I am person A, and I say, hey, what are you going to do this weekend? And you tell me, I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. I'm so excited. And I say, that's good. Conversation over? So why? What did we do here? Here we used the adjective good. So we can tell when we look at person B's response, right? They even say they're excited and it's their favorite band and they're going to see them live. So if we respond with low enthusiasm or a low energy adjective like, that's good. Well, that's a great way to make the conversation end, right? Let's try again. Same question. What are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. I'm so excited. That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait. So here I am, instead of just saying, that's good. If someone is telling me something they're excited about or interested in, right? Maybe their enthusiasm or excitement is high, I should meet them at that same level of excitement, right? To show them I'm interested. If I don't show them I'm interested in what they are saying, we can't really keep the conversation going, right? So here I just use the word awesome. That's awesome. That's a much stronger adjective than good, right? So let's take a look at some different kinds of adjectives we can use. So here we want to use strong, powerful adjectives to show our interest and to meet the other person's enthusiasm and to show that we're really interested in what that person is saying. So we can use words like awesome, right? Not good or nice, but awesome, amazing, interesting, or fascinating. These words are much stronger in a positive way, right? That's awesome. That's amazing. That's so interesting. That's fascinating. Those all sound a lot better than just, oh, cool, nice. Yeah, right? So this is a very simple way in our first strategy today to having a better conversation is by, in a small way, changing the words we use to show better enthusiasm and interest. We can also do this with negative words. Maybe someone is telling you about something bad that happened. Oh, that's awful. That's horrible. That's terrible. So here we have a few adjectives showing negative, right? Not just, oh yeah, that sucks. Or, oh, yeah, I'm sorry that that happened. But, oh, that's horrible, you know? Really empathize and show greater interest. And the easiest way for positive or negative is to just add words like really, very, and so before the adjective that we're using. So this is a very simple way. And it's just step one in how to have a better conversation. So remember, using better adjectives is very simple and very useful and a good way to show the other person, I am interested in what you're saying and I want to keep the conversation going. Next, let's talk about QARF. So let's build on this excited response. Using stronger adjectives is one way to show enthusiasm and interest in what the person is saying, but how can we take it a step further? So, right, using better adjectives, that's good, right? We can show we are interested, but that's just step one. So how can we take it a step further to an even better, even more fun and more interesting conversation? We can do this with a speaking strategy called QARF or CARF. So what is QARF? These are four simple letters to remember and help you when you're in an English conversation and maybe you're feeling a little nervous or stressed. Just remember QARF. So what does that mean? Q means question. A stands for answer. R is response, and F is follow-up question. So if we have a conversation between two people, maybe person one asks a question, person two answers, and person one responds and asks a follow-up question, and it keeps going in this way. Q-A-R-F, A-R-F, 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 A-R-F. So let's see what this looks like. So let's try our conversation again with QARF. And we're going to look at this in detail. So first, let's read this conversation. What are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. I'm so excited. That's awesome. I love going to concerts. Which band are you seeing? Oh, I'm going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Do you like them? Yeah, they're great. I love their song, Under the Bridge. No way, that's my favorite song. Okay, wow. So we can tell that this is a much better conversation, right? But why? Well, let's look a little bit closer. So here, if we look at person A, we have a question, right? Often we start conversations with questions. How are you? What are you doing today? How are you feeling? What did you do yesterday? And so on, right? Person B answers the question. I'm going to see my favorite band. I'm so excited. Next, instead of just saying, that's great, or that's awesome, we have a response and a follow-up question. So here, my response is, that's awesome. I love going to concerts. And then a follow-up question about the topic, right? They're going to see their favorite band. Oh, which band is that? So even just this simple strategy of responding and adding a follow-up question can make it a much better conversation. Sometimes if you're feeling nervous in a conversation, you might just have QA, 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 QA. What are you going to do? What about tomorrow? Do you like this? Do you want to do that? Right? Not really great. So how can we prevent ourselves from doing that with our response? So here I shared my opinion about what they are doing. That's awesome. And a little bit more detail about what they said. So something about me too. I love going to see concerts. And then my follow-up question, which band are you seeing? Then they answer, oh, I'm going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And lucky me, they also asked me a follow-up question. Do you like them? Right? Very common in conversation. And here I'm responding, yeah, they're great. So I have my better adjective, right? Great. Up here we used awesome. I love their song, Under the Bridge. So again, adding a little bit more detail to my response, and then they respond, no way, that's my favorite song. And like this, our conversation can continue. So an easy way to remember is QARF, question, answer, response, and follow-up question. Now, before we talk a little bit more about this, about how what is a good response and what is a good follow-up question, take note that in both the answer and the response, I'm adding details. So if you are, and this is another tip, so if you're having a conversation with someone and you only give short answers, well, that makes it very difficult to have a meaningful, longer, more interesting conversation, right? So imagine, just like we did before, if this person said, I'm going to see a concert. Short answer. That's awesome. Short response. Okay, well, our conversation is basically over, right? We can't really go very far from there. It's difficult. So be sure, if you are answering, give a detailed answer. Not just, I'm going to see a concert. I'm going to see my favorite band. How do I feel? So excited. And when we respond, adding information about ourselves to, oh, I love going to see concerts. Adding details to our answers and responses is a great way to make the conversation way more interesting. And here in our response down here, this person asked, do you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers? I could have just said, yeah. Oh, okay. Conversation over again. No. Yeah, they're great. My opinion. And adding more detail. I love their song Under the Bridge. So adding details is a really great way to make QARF work for you. So let's go ahead and talk about what is a good response, right? We have Q and A, and remember to add details to your answers, but what are some good responses? We can use strong adjectives like, that's awesome, that's amazing, oh, that's so cool. We can add our opinion, just like I did in that last conversation. That's awesome. I love going to concerts. That's so cool. I love their song, Under the Bridge, right? Adding our opinion. So step one and two. Another option for a different step two, so having our strong adjective response, that's awesome, that's amazing, that's fascinating, that's spectacular, and then our opinion, we can also add a short anecdote. An anecdote is like a small, very, very short story, right? So let's say that I was in that conversation and I said, what are you going to do this weekend? Oh, I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. I'm so excited. So I might say, oh, that's awesome. And then short anecdote. I went to go see my favorite band Radiohead in concert recently, and it was amazing. Then my follow-up question, who are you going to see? And the conversation continues. So this is another way to add detail. But remember to keep your story or your anecdote short, right? We don't want to have someone say, oh, this amazing thing, I'm going to see my favorite band, and then kind of ignore their response, tell a long story, right? So short anecdote. Oh, I did that. It was amazing. Who are you going to see? So these are all examples of good responses. Strong adjectives and your opinion, or strong adjectives and a short anecdote, or just a short little story to relate to what they are saying. And after we have shared our opinion or a short anecdote, what about follow-up questions? What are good follow-up questions? Well, of course, when we are asking questions, we should think of our question words like who, what, when, where, why, how, and which. So, for example, let's say we had the question or the person said, I'm going to see my favorite band. Okay, so let's just write it here, favorite band. From that conversation. Oh, I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. Let's try to make a follow-up question with each of these. I might say, who are you going with? What are you most excited about? When are you going? Where is the concert? Why is that your favorite band? How are you going to get there? Or how long have you liked this band? And maybe which song do you hope they play? I already have, what, 7 questions I could ask? So if you're feeling a little concerned, oh, how do I keep this conversation going? Remember your WH questions. And now let's get some practice. We can think of a good response and a follow-up question for any topic. There are so many possible follow-up questions. So let's try. So let's say person A says, I'm from America. Okay, meeting someone for the first time. So how could I respond? Well, remember, I want to use a strong adjective in my opinion or an anecdote. So let's say I decide to use an anecdote. I could say something like, oh, that's interesting. Now there's my strong adjective and my anecdote. I went to America last year. It was awesome. And now a follow-up question. Where in America are you from? So this is much better than saying something like, oh, cool. Response, follow-up question. Oh, that's interesting. I went to America last year and it was great. Where in America are you from? And then they share, right? Much better response. So my follow-up question was, where in America are you from? I could also ask a question like, maybe how long did you live in America? If I'm seeing them in another country, oh, why are you traveling here? What are you doing here? Right? If I see them in another country, many possible questions. Okay, let's look at our next one. Let's say person A says, I love to read. So hobby conversation, right? Another getting to know you. Oh, I love to read. So remember, first I want to respond with my strong adjective and my opinion or an anecdote. So this time let's try an opinion. So my friend says, I love to read. I might say, oh, that's cool. I really like to read too. Right? Agreeing, my opinion. I like to read too. And now I need my follow-up question. What kind of books do you like to read? So again, we can think of many follow-up questions here. What kind of books do you like to read? What are you reading now? How often do you read? Why do you like to read? Right? So many questions we could ask. Oh, do you prefer books or movies? And let's take a look at one more. Let's say I'm talking to someone and they tell me I want to be a business owner. So we're talking about our goals, jobs, things like that. So first I want to respond, and remember, strong adjective and opinion or anecdote. So I might say something like, oh, that's really interesting. My dad is a business owner. Why do you want to be a business owner? Right? And my follow-up question, why do you want to be a business owner? Or again, something like, what kind of business would you like to own? Where would you want to own a business? And so on. So as you can see, we can have a good response and follow-up question to any topic. So remember, Q-A-R-F. Okay, our last tip today is to engage the listener. So what about when we have a story to tell in a conversation? Or what about when we have a lot to say or we have to speak for a long time? It's best not to dominate the conversation, or this means to speak much more than the other person, right? So how can we change this? We can engage the listener. So the listener is the person we are talking to, right? So how can we do this? So let's say I'm telling I have a story to tell, we're having a great conversation already, and I want to talk about my experience. Let's say we're talking about travel, and I want to tell the story of when I traveled to Vietnam, to Hanoi. I loved it. It was amazing, and I want to talk about it. Well, I could probably talk about that trip for 5 minutes straight, but that's not the best way to have a conversation, right? Maybe the other person will lose interest or stop listening or, right, not really the best. So how can I engage that listener and have a better conversation? The first thing I could do is ask for their opinion about something. Like, what do you think about da-da-da? For example, I could share about when I went on a food tour in Vietnam, right? Maybe I'm talking about that. And instead of telling the rest of my story right away, I could say, oh, what do you think about food tours? Or what do you think about Vietnamese food? Have you ever had Vietnamese food? Right? What do you think about it? And now they're engaged. Oh, yeah, I've had it. And I think da 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 da. Oh, yeah, me too. It was so good. And then I can continue my story, right? Number two, depending on the story you're telling, you could ask for their advice. So actually, these two topics we have talked about in previous live streams, giving and asking for opinions, and also giving and asking for advice, right? So words like should, could, ought to, had better. And then with opinions, I really like, I'm into, and so on. So be sure to check out our previous live streams for that. So the second way is to ask for advice. If you need to, what would you do if you were me? So maybe I'm telling a story of, oh, something happened. I lost my phone. It was so crazy. What would you have done in that situation? Right? What would you have done if you were me? So ask for their opinion, their advice, what they would have done. And then they might share, oh yeah, maybe they'll share a story. Oh, that I lost my phone once and I had to do this, da da da. What did you do? So we've engaged them. We're not just talking uninterrupted. And the last way is to ask if they have a similar experience. So a question like, have you ever? So maybe even before I tell my story, oh yeah, my favorite travel experience was when I went to Vietnam. Have you ever been there? Or in my story, have you ever had Vietnamese food? Have you ever done this? Have you done that? Where's your favorite place? You have traveled. What's your experience like? So asking about their experience. So remember to engage the listener, ask questions during your story. Ask for their opinion. Ask for their advice if it's relevant or if you need to. And ask about their similar experiences. The key point is to be aware of your talking time. Be aware of when you're talking for a little too long. Maybe some of you do that. I know I certainly do sometimes. Be aware of how long you're talking. And but one thing, a tip that I want to give you guys is it's not always you doing all the talking, right? Sometimes maybe you're talking to someone, they are talking a lot. So a tip, if they are not engaging you and you're just sitting there, listening to a very long story, you can do something called interject. So this means maybe they get to the end of a sentence and now you can add something you want to say, right? Oh, maybe I am talking to you and I'm talking a lot, blah, 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 going on about my travel experience. And you're like, okay, yep, okay, okay, Sarah, right? You're talking a lot. So you can interject with your experience. Maybe I'm talking about my food tour and I'm about to keep talking, but I pause and you might say, interject. Oh, that reminds me of when I went to this place and I tried this and I did that. Okay, so another tip, maybe you're on the other side, they are talking a lot. You can interrupt politely, interject with something you want to share, right? And again, you can share your opinion or share your advice or share your similar experience when the tables are turned. So last, remember, a conversation should have back and forth. And sometimes you have to take charge. This might mean asking a question, right? Asking for opinion, advice, or a similar experience, or interjecting with your opinion, advice, or similar experience. Okay, guys, so remember, use strong adjectives. Show your enthusiasm. Show you are interested with your words. And you can do it with your tone of voice and your gestures and body language as well. But step one, strong adjectives. Show that you are really interested in what the person is saying. Step two, use QARF. Remember to, if you are answering a question, answer in detail, right? Don't just give a short, simple answer. Tell a little bit more. If you are responding to what someone else said, be sure to add your opinion or maybe a short anecdote about what happened to you and ask a good follow-up question. Again, to show you're interested and to give each other more to talk about. More details, better conversation, easier to talk, right? The more you know, the easier it is to keep a conversation going. And last, remember to engage the listener. Ask questions, ask for their advice, their opinion, their similar experiences, or if you are the listener, remember, it's okay to interject and ask questions of your own. Okay, everyone, so that's it for today's lesson on how to have a better English conversation. Oh, there we are. So, do you have any questions? So let me know. Okay, thank you. We have a question already. What is the difference between answering a question and following up a question? So a follow-up question, thank you for asking. A follow-up question is something that you ask in response to someone's answer. So for example, just a normal question, there's nothing, maybe nothing happened before that. Oh, hey, what did you do this weekend? Right? Start of a conversation. A follow-up question is something you ask to get more information. So for example, let's say you tell me that you love cooking. Maybe I ask, oh, hey, what are your hobbies? And you say, oh, I really love cooking. Follow-up question is, okay, you told me something. I want to know more information about that thing. Okay, cooking. Why do you like to cook? How long have you been cooking? What do you like to cook? Who taught you how to cook, and so on. I want more information. That's a follow-up question, okay? So more asking a question to get more information. Sydney, I'm Vietnamese. Hello, yes. Nice to see you here on today's live stream. Okay, do we have any questions? Hello from Cambodia. Hello. Thank you so much for joining today. Okay, I'm looking through. Looks like not too many questions about today's lesson. Please make sure to post any questions you have. We'll hang out for another minute or so. And with this can be a little bit of a complicated topic. Oh, if someone wants a friend for conversation, message me. Yeah, so if you're on Facebook, you can, of course, message each other. You guys, please do use our Facebook to connect with each other, practice your English conversation together. It's a great resource for that. Okay. So, looks like that might be it. I don't see any more. I'm looking through your questions. Thank you guys for commenting. And let's see, interesting and informative topic. Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you for joining. I have a whale of a time in this class. A very good idiom. Yep, a whale of a time. And, oh, how to finish up a conversation that you don't like. I would say, okay, so there are two ways. So two different kinds of conversations you might not like. So maybe a conversation you want to leave, right? You want to just say goodbye, or maybe a conversation where you just want to change the topic to something else. So if you just want to end the conversation, of course, you know, you could say something like, I'm sorry, I maybe make an excuse. I'm not sure. I have something to do. Oh, you know, it was nice talking to you, but actually I have to go to class. Or, you know what? I have to go meet someone, but hey, nice talking to you, right? Politely, hey, have a good day. And just exit the conversation. If you are in a conversation and you just want to change the topic, you can just say, so in the PowerPoint today, we saw, that reminds me of. This is a great way, a great phrase we can use to change the topic to something else. So maybe someone is having a conversation with you about a topic you are uncomfortable with. Oh, you know, that reminds me, and change the topic. Oh, that reminds me, you know, I was doing this thing the other day and sorry to change the topic, but it made me think of this other thing. Right? Change the topic. So you can change the topic, that reminds me of, or, oh yeah, you know, sorry to change the topic, but, and start a different part of the conversation. So I hope that helps. Okay. Okay, let's see. May I ask, is the following commentary correct or not grammatically? They who were silent are now in song. He means they for Netherlands fans. Yes, this is correct. They who were silent are now in song. Yes. So that is grammatically correct. So what this is saying is the people who were quiet are now singing, right? So that's another way we could say it. This is a bit of a complex grammar structure, but yes, that is correct. Okay, let's see. Thanks for today's session. Yeah, you're welcome. I encourage you to go back and watch it. Do we have a group to learn? This is our group. So we do live streams regularly, right? My live streams are typically every Tuesday, and we also have live streams every other Sunday. So I encourage you to do that. And also, as I said before, connect with other people in the group. You can always post, and try to connect with people that are also following our channel. I'm very weak in spoken English, but not in written English. How to improve my spoken English? So maybe in the future, I will do a whole live stream answering these questions. How to improve my speaking, how to improve my listening, reading, writing. So this is a very common question. I would say that some of the best ways to improve your speaking are, of course, these skills are tied together. Reading and writing, very close. Speaking and listening, very close. You need them together. So the best way to improve your speaking is, I would say, to imitate native speakers. So there are many ways you can do this from the comfort of your home. Maybe, for example, you like to watch Netflix or you like to watch YouTube videos, right, about topics you like. Try to watch about topics you like in English, and you can pause, rewind, and repeat. Sometimes this is called shadowing as well, right? So listening and repeating. This way you can imitate the native speaking way, right? You can also use translation apps and use the let me hear this word, right? Translate something, and you can listen to the word and repeat. So I think listening and repeating about things you're interested in is a great way to start improving your speaking and pronunciation. How to draw our students' attention by asking questions or giving them more information about the topic we discuss. This is a great question. So I assume you are a teacher. So to get students' attention, one strategy is to, it's called activate prior knowledge. So let's say, for example, I'm doing a lesson on the present perfect tense, have done, have been, have played. Okay. Well, I could give a very dry, boring lesson about that and just teach the grammar. Or I could start the lesson with some questions, A, to see how do students know how to use this already and how well, to get them using it and to activate what they've already learned, their prior knowledge. So I might start with some warm-up questions. Hey guys, how are you today? Have you ever? Start by asking them some have you ever questions. Have you ever traveled to another country? Okay, and where did you go, right? Maybe set up partner conversations or small group discussions and give them some guided questions to practice and then share as a class and use that as a way to get into the lesson. Showing students why they're learning what they're learning and how they use what they're learning in everyday situations is a great way to get their attention, right? Get them speaking. The more you can get your students to speak, yes, by asking questions, is the best. The more they are speaking, the better. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. You like the way I speak. Thank you so much. I hope that it is easy to understand. Thank you, Raul. What after the next follow-up question? Ah, yes. So the QARF structure can be repeated. QARF. So let's say, for example, I ask you, actually, let's see. Just wait a second. Okay, so let's take a look. I'm going to share my screen one more time to answer this question. Okay. So let's go back. Uh-oh. Sorry, guys. Just wait a second while I set this up. Okay, I'm going to share, and I'm going to answer your question using this page from the PowerPoint. Okay, so hopefully you can see, right? I'm sharing my screen again. So here is our QARF conversation. Q, question, what are you going to do this weekend? A, I'm going to see my favorite band in concert. I'm so excited. R and F. Response, that's awesome. I love going to concerts. Follow-up question. And remember to our viewer who asked, what is a follow-up question? Here, I'm asking for more information about what they said, their favorite band. Okay, which band are you going to see? Now they answer. Oh, I'm going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Let's imagine that they didn't ask me a follow-up question. I would again respond and could ask another follow-up question. So maybe they just say, I'm going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I might again respond, they're great. My opinion, I love their song Under the Bridge. And another follow-up question, maybe something like, what's your favorite song by them? Right? What's your favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song? And the, oh, it's this. Oh, really? I love that song too. And so on. QARF, ARF, ARF, ARF. But sometimes people, of course, will ask a question, right? So here, person A, this QARF structure sometimes depends on the other person. Here they answered and asked me a follow-up question. And then I answered, and I could then ask another follow-up question, right? So I love their song Under the Bridge. And then they say, no way, that's my favorite song. And maybe I ask them another question, right? So here we have follow-up questions as the tool that we use to keep the conversation going. So I hope that that helps. Oh, very good. You said you benefited. That's wonderful to hear. You can always go back. And thank you so much for your compliment. Clear explanation. Good. So happy. I was ready for sleeping, but you got up and came. Oh, thank you. Well, after this, I hope that you get some good sleep. So everybody, thank you so much for coming to our lesson today. Thank you for watching. Have a great day. See you next Tuesday. And yeah, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.